Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Christmas morning, everybody. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. I trust that your heart is warmed by the reality that December 25th, 2019 has finally arrived, and just a brief understanding of what this day is all about. I know this is the anticipated day for children all over the world and for many adults as well. People by the multiplied millions, quite frankly, are celebrating Christmas Day around the world, and we are celebrating as well. And this is the belief that I personally have concerning the days that we're living in, that these last days that we are promised that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And we see by the Holy Spirit the bells of divine liberty sounding throughout the earth from nation to nation, and the coming of the great king to take his rightful place as the ruler of the universe. Amen. Several things must first come to pass before these great events unfold. So our encouragement is to buckle up and get ready to leave behind every lesser thing and to take the great adventure into the unknown realms of Almighty God. Father God has all things under his absolute sovereign control. So what do we say? Trust him. Amen. And what else can we do today but trust the Lord? See, I believe that there is a time coming that God is going to fill the earth with his glory, and that the lordship of Jesus Christ, that babe that was born in a manger 2,000 years ago, he's coming as the ruling king, the rightful king to his place. You know, when a king comes to power where he is supposed to be in power, everything is going to work just fine. And we know that this world in its present form, with the prince of the power of the air and men who are darkened by sin, who have not yet received the atonement, we know that that's never going to work right. We understand that. So the hope of God's people who are connected to God's king and his kingdom is that the Lord will return and set up his kingdom and rule the world in righteousness. And we just know everything's going to work out perfect, don't we? Well, let me tell you what I believe is so important about this Christmas day. Why? I asked myself this for years, and people made mention of it last night in our study and our gathering together for Christmas Eve dinner. The thing is, why at this time of the year is there such a warmth And I've heard, you know, the minority of people that do hurt and suffer for lost loved ones, or they're alone, or for some reason the depression grows at times. But that is not the general reality. The reality is that around the world, there's a particular warmth. There's a spiritual influence that's very positive at this time of the year. And I just want to give my two cents, if I may, about what that is, you know. I believe it goes all the way back to our childhood. And I believe it goes all the way back to a time when we, as children, had a pure faith. A pure faith. We were like sponges. We believed everything mom and dad told us, right? And we just had a simple faith. And that's the glory of children. And I believe what happens is when Christmas comes around and we celebrate this season, that the opportunity for the wind of God to blow upon the embers of our faith, the remaining faith that we may have, really does take place. Unfortunately, what happens to most children? They grow up and they hear about Santa Claus, or they hear about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer flying through the sky and gifts and packages, and none of it's true. And so life has a harsh reality sometimes of coming in and blowing out the candle of faith in our hearts, and we grow up and we mature, they call that. You know, let's get real and let's not get into the supernatural and let's not believe anything beyond what we can see, feel, touch in our sense realm. And that is really sad when you think about it, because this is a moment of faith. Everything about our existence is faith. I mean, how did we get here? Well, mom and dad brought us here. And how did mom and dad get here? Well, their mom and dad brought us here. And when did that all begin? Well, we have the story in the book. It's called Adam and Eve, Adam and Mrs. Adam. And God created man in his own image and likeness, and that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And how did he get here? Well, he got here through the virgin womb of a woman named Mary. And we go on down the road, and everything is faith. Everything is the ability to believe that there is a God in heaven, that this is not just all scientific soup that's been manufactured. And, you know, this has really happened. Something really did begin. And all we need to do is tell the true story. We don't need to talk about Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and a guy named Santa running around in a big suit. You know, none of that matters. It's not about Christmas trees in the house, in the living room with lights and decorations. It's not about that. This season that we're celebrating is about God's Son. And you all know that. And one of the things we really did not talk enough about in the last few days as we've entered into this season is the reality of Emmanuel. Oh my gosh, Emmanuel. Do you remember the great story of Emmanuel? I want to talk about it for just a moment because it is the greatest story ever told. I mean, this really is. And so let me just find out how to spell Emmanuel and I'll be just fine. So Emmanuel. So let's go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Maybe we should pick it up a little bit earlier. This is the visitation. So let's begin in verse 18. Matthew 1, 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we're celebrating right now? The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now that right there requires a little faith, wouldn't you say? That the very birth of Jesus Christ happened in a very unusual way. That there's a woman named Mary who was espoused to her husband-to-be named Joseph. And before they came together, which means before they had ever had sexual intercourse, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. How much faith is required to believe that? Well, if you have a tiny bit of faith, it makes total sense. There's no problem with that. If you are faithless, it's kind of like thinking Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer flying through the sky with Santa Claus on the back, right? You get to a point of saying that's not real. And that is faithlessness. That is to be without faith. And, you know, you and I who genuinely believe the gospel and that there was the birth of Jesus Christ. And, You know, that is because we have faith, and God gave us faith. And even though life has been very harsh and has beat against the lives of our faith, we haven't lost it. We still have faith. And today is a great day to remember that our faith, which is a gift from God, by the way, it's not our own. For God has given to every man a measure of faith. And so whatever faith we have is a gift from God. And do you know that that faith in us is kind of like a seal? Now, the Holy Spirit seals the deal everywhere, but our having faith in the story of the birth of Christ is a seal in of itself. It goes on to say in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. So Joseph never had sexual intercourse with his wife to be Mary, and yet she's pregnant. So he's a just man. He doesn't want to harm her, doesn't want to put her to death and stone her. So he's thinking about how to do this privately. But it says in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now that right there, Joseph is getting an angelic visitation. That requires faith. I mean, we don't know what form the angel took or if he's just speaking to his heart and mind. We're not sure how this all goes, but the angel of the Lord certainly appeared unto him in a dream. All right, so he's dreaming, and Joseph was a great dreamer, like his ancestor Joseph, going all the way back to the Egyptian Empire. So Joseph is dreaming, and he's hearing this download, and then the prophecy comes in verse 21. She, your wife Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So here, Jesus in the Greek, Savior. Okay, he shall save his people. That's why they named him Jesus. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and here's what the prophet said, Matthew 1:23 is what we're reading right now. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. So we sit back and we go, well, wait a second. His name is Jesus, and yet they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Well, let's take a look at it. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7 is where we're going to look at this amazing prophecy that was given thousands of years ago and a long time before Yeshua ever showed up on the scene. And so let's see what it says here. Isaiah chapter 7, and we want to pick it up in verse 4, I think, is where we want to be. In verse 4, is it? And let's see. Let's start in verse 2. Verse 2. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria, and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria, verse 3, Ephraim, and the son of Ramallah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Damascus, or the head of Syria, is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spoke again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. So, what is this prophecy? Look at verse 21. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and 2 sheep. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines at 1,000 silverlings. It shall even be for briars and thorns. All right, so let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, and let's take a peek at verse 4. Isaiah 9:4, for thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, I want you to notice what it says there. His name shall be called. Who is this child that is born? Who is this son that is given? Well, we know he's Jesus. We also know he's Emmanuel. But his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So, really, what is in a name is a nature. And all of these different titles of the name, Jesus, salvation, Emmanuel, God with us, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince, I mean, all these different things are the attributes of the Messiah. And so we don't need to get confused that, well, first they called him Jesus, and then they called him Emmanuel. Now they're calling him Wonderful, Counselor. No, these are all the attributes that are tied to the individual. And I think that's absolutely awesome. And what we need to remember about all these attributes, this name, this nature, this character of Yeshua, is that he is all of that to you and I. He is all of that to whosoever call upon him. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Jesus, the salvation or the savior of the world. He is Wonderful. He is our counselor. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's all of these things to everybody who calls upon his name. And I just wanted to reflect for a moment today about the name Emmanuel. Obviously, in the prophecies, there were some pretty bad dudes that were occupying the land. I mean, whether it was the Assyrians or the Babylonians or whoever they were, there's a prophecy that there was one going to be born that was going to be the king. And we have not yet seen the full mantle of his authority manifesting, but we believe we will, that he will take his governmental seat in Jerusalem at the right time, at the end of the end of the end of the ages, but not only over Israel, but over the whole world. And so I just rejoice today that Emmanuel was spoken of in the scriptures, and this is God with us. And even more importantly, is God within us. God is with us if we have faith. We have salvation and counsel and the Prince of Peace and the mighty God and the everlasting Father. Jesus is more than we can imagine. He is so far beyond our limited ability to comprehend the awesome scope of everything. He's the Creator. He is the everlasting Father. He is Almighty God, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. He's everything for you and I. God is with you today. God is with all who call upon his name. And on this Christmas day, when we think about Yeshua, the Hebrew name for Jesus, we're not considering how old he is. We were talking about this last night. Normally, when we celebrate someone's birthday, we want to know, how old are you today? Nobody knows how old Jesus is. It's been, since I've been a believer, which is nearly 38 years, I've heard it's been 2,000 years, right? No, it's not about how old he is. It's about who he is. And when you and I celebrate this Christmas day together, wherever we are, God's people all over the world, we're not celebrating the age of Yeshua. We're celebrating who he is. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is Jesus, Yeshua, the Savior of the world. He is wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The government is upon his shoulder. He is the fulfillment of all prophecy. Everything that was written in the Psalms, the law, and the prophets concerning him has been fulfilled. This is amazing, that we could believe on Christmas Day, not in Santa Claus, not in Christmas trees, not in presents, not in lights or mistletoe or Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, not in Frosty the snowman, not in any of that. All of that is tradition. What we believe is that in a manger in Bethlehem, 2,000 years ago or so, that God saw in the dispensation of the fullness of time the exact moment to bring his son into the earth to be the Savior of the world. And remember, we talked about this a few days ago, that Christ being born into the earth was witnessed by the sun, moon, and stars, the constellations, the wise men, the magi from a faraway country, Confucius, and the Caesar of the world of that day, forcing a taxation at the exact right moment to make sure that Joseph and Mary went down to Bethlehem to be taxed, but also to fulfill Bible prophecy. To me, this is phenomenal. To me, this is what it is all about. And to me, this is where I want our faith and the warmth of our faith to grow, because we live in a world where a really heavy, thick, wet blanket is designed by the powers of darkness and the world we live in to quench the faith in many hearts in these days, to bring about a cold and bitter idea. You know, there's some kind of demonic intelligence to make this day all about gifts and holiday shopping and, you know, all the different things, even family gatherings We've been at many of those through the years that really measured to almost zero. Whenever Christ is not present in the celebration, wherever he's not lifted up, wherever he's not exalted, wherever it's not about him, it's just tradition. And so people go through these seasons and they're going, man, that's all traditional. And they really don't believe, or they're not mentally or spiritually tuned to what this is all about. I believe it's a divine opportunity to fan the flame of our faith, to bring the warmth and the love of Christ in our hearts once again. I believe that Christmas Day should be celebrated, and it should be celebrated for what it's really all about. You know, people in the world that celebrate Christmas, they're unbelievers. I know people that have no faith in Jesus Christ whatsoever. They are agnostic. They are everything and anything but sound believers. They put their faith in all these different things. They haven't yet understood the depth or fathomed the width and the breadth of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God the Father. I mean, the mysteries are amazing. But you don't add Jesus into the mix with other world rulers or philosophers. To do that is to belittle, to take away the emphasis on who he is. Isn't it interesting? We don't celebrate Buddha's birthday. We don't have Buddha Day. We don't have Confucius Day. We don't even have Muhammad Day, right? I mean, there's not another birthday in the world celebrated like the birth of Christ. Why is that? Because Buddha acknowledged Christ even before he existed. Confucius knew that there would be a star in the West because he was coming from the East. He knew there'd be a star rising in the West, the birth of a king. The Magi understood the birth of a king. And the Magi were the promoters of kings, and that's why they brought their gift to seal, because they had been trained by Daniel. Phenomenal story. So in all the world, it's Jesus. And yet somehow the devil's been able to turn it into Santa Claus, reindeer, snowman, mistletoe, Christmas trees, shopping, presents. For what? If it's not surrounding the purpose, the meaning, the value of the Son himself, and we are celebrating him because he is the greatest gift to the whole world. Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the gift of Yahweh to the world. What is that gift? Our sins are forgiven. He was first given to Israel, to the Jewish people, and then to the Gentiles and to the ends of the earth. The gift of God, God gave a gift to us. And when we bypass that gift and start giving gifts and receiving gifts of materialism, we start missing the essence of what it's all about. And so today, our faith is warmed in the reality that God gave us a gift, Emmanuel, God with us, our Creator, the wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Elohim. Oh my gosh, his names are beyond past finding out. But this is the gift of today. And why do we gather together in fellowship and rejoice? And why would we share this day among ourselves, even in presenting gifts? Because it's a celebration of the gift. It's the celebration of the gift. So this is the beauty of this moment. Children have an ability to believe, and if we can instruct them in the real meaning of this moment, of this day, because tomorrow's going to pass. Lots of gifts are going back to the store. Everything's going to go forward. North Korea is going to come into mind. Russia, Turkey, Iran, distress of nations upon the earth, earthquakes, all that's coming back. So then why don't we utilize this moment in time today to fill up our lamps, to get more oil, to find in ourselves an ability to have genuine faith in what this day represents and what it means. And we don't have to go back to the beginning, to the manger, to realize the meaning. For his birth has meaning even still today for all who call upon his name. To me, when a person receives Christ into their heart, his birth at that moment has meaning. Because he had a beginning on this earth. Now, he is before time, we get that. But on this earth, he had a beginning. He was born. There's a reason for that, to identify with the human race. He clothed himself with our humanity and yet did not sin. But he was born so we can identify with him. And so if all the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents, when that one sinner receives Christ into their heart, his birth in the manger in Bethlehem has meaning. It still has meaning. What an amazing moment to find faith today, to find the fire, the passion of faith. And yet I know that there are strategies to undermine people's faith, to quench that flame, to bring sorrow and depression and grief, for people to look at their lives and say, boy, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, if God is with us in Emmanuel, what more could we ask for? Think about it. What more is there in this life than to know that God is with you? God is with you, Emmanuel, in the person of Christ. What greater gift could there be? But God didn't stop there. He gave us another gift, the Holy Spirit. And he gave us another gift, the promise of eternal life. We've got to address ourselves in this manner, that this day is not about us. It's about God's love for us. And the day that you and I believed, the day that you and I had that fire of faith to accept Christ into our hearts, that day needs to be remembered every day. But more so today. You haven't lost sight of what happened to you that day that you accepted Christ into your heart. You remember that every day if you choose to. Or you could certainly remember it today. You could remember everything. My prayer today for God's people and for those that don't yet know Emmanuel, that maybe today some people would get saved by faith in Jesus Christ and begin to address their life with this meaning that God is not far from you. God is with you. God has not forgotten you. He knows everything about you. When Jesus was on this earth, he taught us several things about God's heart. He said that God was so aware of us that he knew our thoughts. He said that God was so aware of us that he numbered the hairs upon our head. He said that God was so aware of us that he described the birds of the air, that not one of them fall to the ground without his knowledge. And how much of more value are you than many sparrows? Jesus made us to understand that God is not a faraway God, a disinterested God. He is not a deist in the sense of he created and then split. And we have proof about that. I shared a story last weekend at our service about a time when I was a young man raising a young daughter on my own and trying to get to church an hour and a half away because I knew where God had brought me. And I didn't have any nice clothes in those days. And I was just putting my average Sunday best on, and which was normally a pair of Levi's and a shirt. But I was getting ready, and I remember rubbing my left wrist because I needed to know what time it was. And I realized I didn't own a watch in those days. And in the depths of my soul, in my spirit, I just thought, boy, could I use a watch? I didn't stop and ask God and pray or anything like that. I guess it was just a deep in my heart, boy, I could really use a watch. Well, I went to church that morning, my daughter and I. And the first person that met me was a man by the name of George Weems. He was an elder in our church. He walked up. He did what he normally did on Sunday mornings. He'd greet you with the biggest hug you'd ever experience. But on this morning, Paul Weems opened my hand and put a watch in my hand. And I looked at that watch and I looked at Paul and I was speechless. And I was processing that just a few hours earlier, how I was thinking in my heart, I need a watch. And that morning, that man put a watch in my hand. Where did that come from? Paul Weems? He was the vessel, but it came from God. Why? Because God is with us. He knows what we're thinking. I shared another story, and I'm only sharing the story because I believe you need to hear this, that God is real. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows the thoughts of your heart. He knows what you need before you ask Him. It's real. I told the story about a time a friend and myself, we loved to barbecue. We were barbecue fanatics, man. Everywhere we went, we barbecued. And I'm the pastor of the church at this time, and so I had a $20 hibachi grill. My friend had his hibachi grill. And we thought we were the coolest people on the planet. We'd go to a park. We'd go to some picnic or back porch or patio. We'd bring our barbecues, and we'd light them up with the charcoal and the lighter fluid, and we'd get it all hot, and we'd put our chicken on there and a hamburger and a hot dog, and we thought we were it, man. And we loved it. Well, one day, my wife and I, Patricia, were walking into a True Value hardware store in Rancho Bernardo, California. When we walked through those front doors, down the aisle, right in the middle of the aisle, man, I tell the story that angels were sounding trumpets, light was shining from heaven, and right there in the middle of that walkway was a George Foreman gas grill, $229, as I remember. And Patricia was holding my hand, and she squeezed it and looked at me, and she said, "You need that." And I looked at her, and I said, "You're right, I do." But $229 in those days was hard to come by. And we left that True Value hardware store without purchasing the gas grill. Patricia had to get ready to go to Chicago. She was preparing for a trip, and I was actually preparing for a conference that I was invited to speak at in Kremlin, Colorado with Bill and Marcia Burns. I was their point man in conference. And I had been saving for my airfare, my room, my food. So I had a nest egg of money that I was saving for the conference. Patricia went to Chicago. I took a family up to Anaheim, California from San Diego to a conference. And while I was at this conference all day and right around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the Holy Spirit said to me, because there was going to be a guest speaker that evening, said, "I want you to go home and I want you to get the money that you've been saving and I want you to bring it here tonight and I want you to give it to the speaker." It was so clear in my spirit. I went to my friends. I said, "I'll be back." I drove an hour and a half back down to San Diego. I changed my shirt, washed my face. I got my nest egg of money. I put it in my pocket. I drove another hour and a half back to the conference around 5:30 or so. About 16,000 people were at this conference. I was a pastor, so I was in the front rows. The speaker came on. The place roared. I'd never been in anything like this, and I don't think I ever have since, this kind of a conference. And when the speaker was speaking, I was waiting for that precise moment where the anointing would just connect. And when that happened, I got out of my chair. I walked down the aisle, and they didn't pass baskets. People just walked up and put their money on the stage. So I did it in obedience to God, and I took my nest egg and I laid it down at the stage. I went back. Everything was over. Sunday, I went back and preached a little bit about what was I learned on that weekend. Monday morning, I took my daughter, Danielle, to school. I went back to our church building, which was an old meat market that we had turned into a worship center. We called it Meat of the Word Ministries. And I was banging on the drums and playing the piano and the guitar and singing and by myself. And then at one moment, I just laid out on the floor, stretched out, and was praying to God. And my phone rang in my office. I had a little tiny office. And I answered the phone, and it was a gentleman, and he said, is this so-and-so church and United Christian Charities, and are you the pastor? Yes, yes, yes. And we were talking, and he knew that I was a pastor. I was also on radio down in La Jolla, California on K-Praise. And he knew I was actually going to Kremlin, Colorado to speak because our conversation, we talked about all these things. And he was feeling me out, and he said, well, listen, I need you to come by my house in Escondido. I've got a few things I want to donate to the church. And at that moment, my brother Michael came walking through the door, and I said, hey, you want to go with me? This guy wants to give a donation to us. And we drove over there. And the first thing when meeting him is we're driving up this long driveway with palm trees lining the driveway. He comes out, we meet, we get out of the car. He shakes my hand, and he puts $300 in my hand and said, this is for your radio broadcast down in La Jolla. And he said, and you're going to that conference in Kremlin, Colorado, right? He says, I said, yes. He handed me a $2,000 silk suit and said, it's an Italian silk suit, by the way. And he said, you need to look good when you're preaching. I was blown away. Well, we had to go get a U-Haul because he proceeded to give us over $10,000 of furniture and clothing. And we had to fill up this U-Haul. When we were all done, he said, I've got one more thing for you. I said, okay. He walked me in his backyard where there was this gorgeous built-in swimming pool area, palm trees, the whole bit. And he walks over to a brand new, used one time, $1,600 stainless steel gas barbecue grill from Barbecue Galore. And he said, this is for you. And I looked at it and I was blown away. But the story doesn't stop there. Not only did God tell me to take my money and lay it down at that meeting, he gave me some of it back for the $300. He gave me silk suit, $10,000 worth of everything else. And God knew that I wanted that gas grill, that George Foreman, for $229, but we didn't go into debt to get it. And so God supplied me the very best. But then I went to Kremlin, Colorado. And while I was in Kremlin, Colorado, speaking, a man came up to me after the conference and said, I want you to come to my house. I took my two brothers, Michael and Paul, who joined me on that journey. We drove from California. And this man gave me this container. And inside that container were 20 one-ounce pure gold coins. And he said, this is for you. He said, the devil's been trying to stop your blessing. He's put a canopy over your life. And I'm just going to poke a hole through it right now. The Holy Spirit told me to do that. And he gave me 20 ounces of pure gold. Would to God I would have held on to it. I wound up giving it to all my friends and paying for mechanical issues. I had no understanding of the value at that time. And I watched out of my little tiny giving, God supply my needs. And it's been that way forever. I could tell you story after story, but why do I tell you the story? Because God is with us and God is real. And I don't make up stories like that. I don't need to embellish. I have stories that there's no possible way the things that have been done in my life were done by happen chance or coincidence. God has shown himself again and again and again, a book of testimonies of the faithfulness of God in our lives when nobody else knew but God. And then he put his heart into people and they became the vessels or the conduits for God to show himself powerful on our behalf. See, I remember these things, and there's a reason why God tells us to keep our testimony and our witness. We need to remember to, again, allow for that genuine, childlike, warm faith to become a reality in our lives. There's no way on this earth, if God had never once intervened with the storms that we've had to go through, the things that we've had to endure and face, that we would ever be doing what we're doing if God had not been real. No, we needed, I needed, this man here, I needed to know that the God that I love and serve, from the day I received him, I had an experience with him in my bedroom 38 years ago. When God came into my heart, man, did he make an entrance. He changed me from the inside out, gave me a wisdom for the Bible. I had gone to 7 different high schools, 15 different elementary schools. I did not go into anything but a short spell in college. And yet God, when he baptized me in my bedroom with the Holy Spirit, the word of God truly was written upon my heart like tablets. He wrote his word in me and I understood it. And I've been to the school of Christ and I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle showing God's divine intervention and his constant presence. He's always there. He's here right now. I'm telling you stories that are true to build up your faith. My faith is getting stronger with each passing moment today. And I know there's warfare. And I know there's deep, dark warfare coming against the body of Christ in this earth because the devil wants to quench the spirit. He wants to put God out of society. He wants to remove Jesus Christ, even if he could just make him one of the others. But I'm here to tell you there is none other. There is no other King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's no one that could change human nature into divine nature like the indwelling presence of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you the truth. Miracles, signs, and wonders have never stopped. They never cease. My wife gets mad at me, Patricia. She says, "Boy, I wish God would deal with me the way he deals with you." She gets undone. She said, "Why does God keep giving you all these things? I'm walking by faith," and don't get me wrong, she's had her own personal encounter with Jesus, "but God is always reaffirming his presence in my life. I guess he knows I need it, and he's not ashamed to do it. He knows I have faith." But man, every once in a while, it gets heavy. It gets so heavy. And when you refrain from telling people stuff, God knows. And he deals with us in a very special way. God is real. He really is our Father. I found that out more so 2 years ago in July when I was hanging on the side of that mountain in the Teton Mountains. I should have been a dead man, but God dealt with me and sent 2 angels up that mountain to save me and bring me back down because he said, "Listen, this father issue thing has to end with you. And either we're going to move on right now because I've shown myself so often to you, and yet you're all caught up in your daddy wound." And so the Lord dealt a major blow against that demonic wound and brought the oil and the wine and has brought me forth more and more. He's just more and more. And you know what? Our best years are not behind us. Our best is right in front of us. And that's the truth for everybody who believes. The best for us is ahead of us. Whatever we go through on this earth is not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Whatever hardship, whatever trouble, whatever sorrow, whatever pain, whatever is going on in your life that you're just not happy about, whatever it is, it's not even worthy to be compared to the glory of the supernatural divine intervention of Almighty God, our Father. You know, he's got all these names. And every single one of them have meaning to you and I today. It is Christmas Day. And I would like to say Merry Christmas to all my friends out there, family. We've got some people calling in right now. And so what I'm going to do is put on my headphones, and I'm going to take a few calls, and I'm going to begin with our dear friends right here in Northwest Arkansas, 479-855. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Pastor. How are you doing today? You're doing great. I know that. I can hear it in your voice already. So praise the Lord. What a day it is to praise the Lord, isn't it?
Amen. It certainly is, Pastor Ken. That was a great ho, 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 by the way. I loved it.
Well, it's easy to do for our Lord, you know, really. Yeah. Two quick comments on here. One, when you're talking about where the Lord would show you things, and your wife, Beth Patricia, would say, you know, why does the Lord deal with you that way? And I wholeheartedly agree with you, because I've heard it often, too often times myself, because I need it. They could go by faith and live by faith without any problem at all, and yet we need to see these tangible things, I think, sometimes to go ahead and bolster up our own faith. But be it as it may, it's a blessing. You know, whichever way we believe and understand God. And the other comment, of course, that I wanted to make on here was that, you know, every day is Christmas Day for us from the Lord's point of view. He gives, he blesses, he showers us with all of his gifts, all of his love, all of his blessings. He does that each and every day for us. And it's surprising that we only take one day out of our whole Christmas, the whole calendar, and give glory to him in a special way when we should be doing it every day, because he does it for us each and every day as well.
Amen. Pastor Ken, you're going to be joining me on KIRM Radio here in about an hour and 10 minutes. And so we'll look forward to seeing you down there. And as always, your love for God, your faith in Christ, your overwhelming sense of his love and mercy and grace in your life is constant in you. And I wish you, my dear brother, a very Merry Christmas. And we'll look forward to seeing you and Peggy very soon. We love you so very much. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. We'll see you in a little bit.
Yep, we'll see you in about an hour and 10 minutes. Hey, if you have a call, we're looking at our friend Feliz Navidad from our brother Sean and Carmen. And David Ellison, dear David, I know your mother just passed away a few days ago, and it's Christmas time, but she is with Christ, and you know that, and we know that. And I love the fact, David, that you put out there, Jesus is the reason for the season. Merry Christmas to you too, my dear friend. Let's take our next call coming in from area code 605. It just wouldn't be a Watchman broadcast without our friends from South Dakota. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Well, we woke up to a winter wonderland, and
wow,
we have got all the trees are just full of frost, white, and then we have ice on the roads, and that, so it's like black ice, they call it here. You don't even want to walk on your sidewalk, but it is beautiful. We're just going to be in all day, but I do want to tell you about a blessing that you were telling about how God worked in your life when you were in need of a blessing, a financial thing. Well, we were in the process of selling our home, and we had a buyer, and he had just, lowballed the offer and everything, and it wasn't a good thing. And so everything fell through on that, which was the Lord. And here comes another buyer within days of, or months, I should say, and they offered us full price, and it was just a blessing from God. And I mean,
so
it's a miracle when you obey God, when he tells you to do things.
God bless you. That is a miracle. There are people out there right now, Kathy, that they need a Christmas miracle in their lives. And maybe that miracle is just a blessed assurance right now that everything is going to work together for good for those who genuinely love God and are called according to his purpose and plan for their lives. And why don't we pray for that right now for people everywhere? Maybe they have homes they need to sell. Maybe there's a crisis in their family. Maybe their finances need a blessing from the Lord. Let's believe in the supernatural, almighty power of God who knows every single one who will call upon his name. And for all those who call upon the name of the Lord right now, listen to this prayer. Kathy, pray that blessing right now in the life of God's people for a supernatural Christmas miracle in Jesus' name.
Father God, we bring every need to you right now that people have all over the radio land and whoever is in need right now of the body of Christ. And Father God, we pray that the Spirit of God will move on behalf of all the needs that are out there. And Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that came into this earth and died for our sins, that we might have eternal life. We thank you for every blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas to you and Ken. We love you both very much. You're such an intrinsic part of this radio broadcast. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Say hello to all your family, okay?
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, and thank you for sharing that great story. We've got another call coming in from area code 479903. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The celebration. That celebration that's gone been going on for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Oh, what a celebration. What a celebration. I just want to thank the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for all his spiritual blessings and the financial, and how he has done miracle after miracle in my life. Even from when I was born, I was only 3.5 pounds, and that was a miracle in itself. And I just praise the Lord in his 87 years that he's been walking with me in so many different ways.
Yeah, do you know, George, you reminded me, my precious daughter Danielle, she just gave birth to my precious granddaughter Athena Grace, and Athena Grace was born at 3 pounds as well, but she's growing up so beautifully right now. Elder, I'm going to ask you to do us a favor right now. 87 years, you have testimony with God. I want you to pray a blessing over everyone who's listening right now for that Christmas miracle in their heart, to be encouraged, to be warmed, that faith will grow, and whatever needs are needed in their lives, that God will begin to supply. Would you please pray that blessing over the body?
Oh, our Heavenly Father, Jesus and Holy Spirit, I just, it's such a heart, my heart, that every person that's within the hearing of this program, Father, that they come into a real relationship with Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, Father, that in all the things that going on and all the things that they would be recognized there. That's the only way, is that Jesus Christ is their Savior. And Father, the whole world, there's a darkness in the world, but you are the light, Jesus, and help each one and demonstrate to some of these people that might be listening that you are the way, the truth, and the light. And that is a rock that we stand on in Jesus Christ, that was born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit in Mary, in that manger in Bethlehem. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Elder George, thank you so much for that prayer. We're gonna seal the deal with that. We've got about 60 seconds left. We love you so much, Elder George. You've been a great blessing in our ministry, and you are loved, dear friend. Merry Christmas to you. I've got time for one more call coming in about 30 seconds. I'm so sorry, but area code 479-366, you are on the air. God bless you.
Go quick. Just wanted to say the goodness of God, of how he has brought me to this fellowship, and the main ingredient is love, and a tree shall be known by its fruit. And I'm so very blessed to have the pastors that I have in the body of Christ that I belong to. So very thankful, among many other blessings. Thank you, Lord. God bless you all. Love you.
God bless
Merry
you.
Christmas.
And thank you for that very, very special call from our dear sister Carla. She has been a help in this ministry beyond our expectations. She is absolutely amazing. Merry Christmas to you, too. All right, folks, that's it. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, right here on the Watchman Radio broadcast. Have a super blessed day wherever you go. I'm going to be on KURM Radio in about 1 hour. That's KURM.net. Until we see each other again, this is Pastor Vince. Shalom. I'm going to continue 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right now on OmegaRadio.org, a roundtable discussion with Pastor Patricia Joy. Shalom and God bless you.